Just before the first regular season football game started last week, the news came out that Jim Irsay had been suspended for 6 games and fined $500,000. He'd been picked up by the Indiana police for driving while intoxicated. I think it was prescription drugs that he was using. So that's a misdemeanor. But in addition to that, the NFL punished him, disciplined him under their personal conduct policy. This news really surprised me, and it wasn't because of a disciplinary action, but rather because Jim Irsay isn't a football player and he's not a coach. He's actually the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, which means for the first 6 games of the season, he's not allowed to enter the stadium that he owns. Thought, man, that's pretty serious. What is this NFL personal conduct policy all about? So I looked online and I found it. It's only 3 pages long. Let me read you a couple quotes from it. All persons associated with the NFL are required to avoid conduct detrimental to the integrity of and public confidence in the National Football League. This requirement applies to players, coaches, other team employees, owners, game officials, and all others privileged to work in the National Football League. For many years, it has been well understood that rules promoting lawful, ethical, and responsible conduct serve the interests of the league, its players, and fans. Illegal or irresponsible conduct does more than simply tarnish the offender. It puts innocent people at risk, sullies the reputation of others involved in the game, and undermines public respect and support for the NFL. So in other words, it's not enough for players to play fairly on the field and for owners and so on to run their organization in a way that allows and promotes fair conduct and doesn't cheat, but also the way that they behave off the field affects how people view the NFL and therefore is also subject to disciplinary action. So what kinds of behavior? Well, it says while criminal activity is clearly outside the scope of permissible conduct, the standard of conduct for persons employed in the NFL is considerably higher. It is not enough simply to avoid being found guilty of a crime. Instead, as an employee of the NFL or a member club, you are held to a higher standard and expected to conduct yourself in a way that is responsible, promotes the values upon which the league is based, and is lawful. They say that you can be held liable even if your activity doesn't involve you being convicted of a crime, and they list criminal offenses, steroids and prohibited substances or substances of abuse, violent or threatening behavior among employees, whether inside or outside the workplace, possession of a gun or other weapon in any workplace setting, conduct that imposes an inherent danger to the safety and well-being of another person, and conduct that undermines or puts at risk the integrity and reputation of the NFL, NFL clubs, or NFL players. Whew! Covers just about everything. Boy, I'm glad I don't work for the NFL. Okay, actually, I'd be willing to put up with this if I could work for the NFL. And that's the point, is it's a real privilege to be able to play or work for a team, and people can be expected to be held to a higher standard. So who punishes you for it? Well, the commissioner of the NFL is responsible for disciplinary action. And if you're not happy with it, you can appeal to the commissioner of the NFL. There's not a higher authority you can go to, so you have to go tell the guy who decided on your sentence, I don't think this is fair. Good luck with that. So that's the NFL's personal conduct policy. And as I was kind of reading this, it reminded me of something. It reminded me of Jesus. Jesus has given all of his disciples a personal conduct policy. And it's not enough that we not be convicted of crimes, but rather Jesus holds all of us to a higher standard. And that's because being Christian isn't just about what we do in church, but what we do outside of these walls, at home, at our workplace, wherever we are, reflects on Christians as a whole and even on Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus holds us to a higher standard. You might say, oh gosh, I didn't see that when I signed up for parish membership. Maybe you should have. What is Jesus' personal conduct policy? So simple you might have memorized it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That's it, folks. That's what we're expected to do and be as Christians. And our second reading makes it very clear that all of the laws are summed up in loving your neighbor as yourself. Now that sounds like a pretty simple policy, but we get a little more specific and we can walk through the Ten Commandments and show you what exactly is being asked of us in loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So, I am the Lord your God, you should not have other gods before me. It means that we should worship God alone and shouldn't be engaged in any kind of occult practices, any worship of other beings, any idolatry, or superstitious practices that involve belief in things that aren't God. And then, the second commandment, don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's not enough for us to just say we worship God, but the way that we speak has to show a worship and a reverence for God. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Oh, so you say you love God. You get an opportunity every week to prove it. And it's about God expects us to be coming to church and worshiping Him, but also to be using the rest of the day to glorify God. And not for work or for other pursuits, for personal benefit, but use this day to honor God. You know, I ran into a woman and she, when I walked into the bar, she said, everybody better watch their language, she said. And she and I got to talking and she asked me, do you know this priest? And I'm like, yeah. Do you know that priest? Yeah. Do you know this other priest? Yeah. How do you know all these people? I said, so where do you guys live? Oh, up north somewhere. I won't name the place. And then I said, okay, so do you go to church? Where do you go to church? Oh, we don't go every week. But we have Jesus in our heart. Well, that's nice. That's nice. Did you know that Jesus puts Sunday Mass attendance on the same list as adultery and murder? Good luck with that one. Speaking of that, so that's how we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. The next seven commandments are about loving our neighbor as ourself. Don't kill. People might say, ah, phew, got that one. Ah, but have you drunk to excess? Have you driven while drunk? Have you behaved in a way that puts your own life or other people's lives in danger? Have you abused substances, taken poor care of your health? Don't commit adultery. Any sexual activity with someone you're not married to violates Jesus' personal conduct policy. Don't steal. That involves respecting your neighbor's goods, but it also involves not taking advantage, not defrauding your employer or the government and so on. I missed one. You guys got to be helping me out here. Honor your father and mother. That means that stomping upstairs, saying, I hate you, and slamming the door violates Jesus' personal conduct policy. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. It's not enough to say we love our neighbor. Our speech has to reflect that. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Involving ourselves in pornography or impure thoughts violates love of neighbor. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Your neighbor is more important than his stuff, so treat him that way. So there you go. Love God and love your neighbor. All of a sudden it starts to look pretty tough, huh? You thought the NFL's personal conduct policy was difficult. The funny thing is, we may take this more seriously than we take Jesus' commands. Because let's face it, when was the last time any of you were fined by Jesus? It's not like you're going to walk in church and Father's going to be like, here, you have a 2-week suspension and $10,000 fine because I know what you did on Friday. No, it doesn't happen, right? It's not like Jesus is going to walk in your living room and say, hey, you should turn the TV off. Or show up in your bedroom, cut that out. It's not like you're in the midst of something that you shouldn't be doing at work and Jesus is going to walk in. I expect better of you. No, we know that Jesus is not going to show up. And so we feel like we can ignore his personal conduct policy. But that's not true. The truth is that Jesus is asking us to hold each other responsible. Our gospel goes on to say that we're responsible for holding each other to his high standard. Now, does that make us the judges of our brothers and sisters? Absolutely not. and not even our spouses. The only true judge is Jesus, and every one of us will be standing before the throne of Jesus and have to answer for what we have done and for what we've said. He's the only judge. Even the Pope can just tell us how he thinks Jesus probably will judge. We'll all be judged by Jesus. And there's the good news. We haven't been judged yet. There's still time. We can shape up our act now. Jesus encourages us to live to a high standard, and he wants us to help each other do it. So practically, what does this look like? So let's just go through a fictional circumstance where you're being invited to hold your brother accountable. You're out golfing, let's say, and you're with a foursome, and one of the group of golfers is just really swearing up a storm. What would we usually do in that circumstance? We would usually turn to the other people in the golfing foursome and be like, man, that's terrible. Yeah, he's got a really foul mouth. Yeah, that's horrible. How could she behave like that? Yeah. And then finally we might blow up and say, would you just put a cork in it? You're hurting my ears, or something nasty. It's not what Jesus is asking us to do. He says, if your brother sins against you, tell him your fault between you and him alone. So Jesus wants us to step aside when you get an opportunity with just the two of you, say, hey, I need to talk to you about your language.
Yeah, what's the matter with it?
You know, you're a great guy, and you work really hard to help other people. And that's a wonderful thing. But this kind of language, it doesn't fit you well. I think you're better than that. It's not showing the best side of you. You can find lots of little ways, you know? You're a beautiful woman. Why would you spread so much ugliness? Well, I'm angry. Well, can you find a way to be angry that still spreads goodness and beauty instead of ugliness? Or even, I see you just got a new fuel-efficient vehicle, a hybrid vehicle, doesn't pollute the environment. So why are you polluting the air with all this nasty speech? But in all these things, it's where you have to be respectful, and rather than tearing them down, lift them up. Raise them up. Say, you're worthy, you know, you're capable of more, and I want to encourage you to do more. That's exactly what we should be doing. I love you too much to let you treat yourself this way. You're capable of more. Let's step up. Because you know what? We won't be always on the giving end of correction now, will we? Sometimes we'll be on the receiving end. And we'll have to look beyond what the person says, even if it's not so nice, and realize that they love us too much to let us fail. They want us to succeed so we can say thank you. Because you know what? We're all on the same team together. We're all playing for Christ. We're all here in this, and we've all been given the same rules. The personal conduct policy of Jesus applies to everyone, regardless of who they are. From the Pope down to the simplest layperson, everybody's held to the same standard. But Jesus doesn't just give us this standard and say, here, it's practically impossible, good luck. But rather, Jesus intends to help us every step of the way. That's why we have Mass and are able to receive communion. That's why we've been given confession, so that we can start over. That's why we have daily prayers, that we can turn to God for help. That's why the church is there, to help be more specific and help us know exactly, is this really right or wrong? But that's also why we have our brothers and sisters, to build each other up, to hold each other accountable, to help make sure that every one of us is playing to the best of our ability and making Jesus proud.